This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, we are back. We are 6 to 8 games into the regular season, depending on which team you root for. And wow, a lot of trends happening. I thought, who better to dissect it with than the only person I talk to on this program, Billy Scafuri.
You're getting bucket buckets.
Bing bong.
Nice. Are you still into the bing bong, or are you like, okay, it's had its day and now it's on its way out?
Bing bong might be here to stay for seasons, dog.
Oh. Yes. Mm-hmm. And your love of the bing and the bong, has it wavered, or are you still fully the binging and bonging?
Oh, I am fully invested in the bing bong. There was Knicks tape a couple of years ago. Iman Shumpert came out with hashtag Knicks tape, and that was a play on the word mixtape. Mm-hmm. But he didn't say it. He didn't say it. It was a hashtag. So it couldn't. But when you saw that Sidewalk NYC video where New York City fans went ham after a double OT first game of the season win.
That's right. Yeah.
There was dudes, no time. Dudes who were just saying crude, crass, terrible things. And then tucked in at the 30-second mark was just some guy who leaned into the microphone and said, bing bong. And he took it and ran.
So yes. Cool. Is that guy getting paid for all the bing bong action? Does he own that, or what? Did he?
He's
start
putting
that
in work. I'll tell you right now. He changed his Twitter handle to Bing Bong Guy.
That's good.
And he is actively searching any mention of Bing Bong. Not tagged. He doesn't have to be tagged in it. He's searching Bing Bong Knicks to see what's turning up, and he's replying to those tweets as well. So he's putting in the work to try and get his notoriety.
How many followers we got for Bing Bong Guy? First time I checked,
under 2,000. Last time I checked, we're like hovering around 2,500.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So if you want to invest in Bing Bong Coin, I think now's the time.
Yes, exactly right. But he was at the Knicks game against the Raptors yesterday. So he might be getting some tickets.
They gotta bring it back. Are you telling, like, this guy can do the national anthem and at the end yell Bing Bong or something like that?
Mike Breen on a Julius Randle Bank 3 yelled Bing Bong. And I mean,
instead of bang? Bing, bang, bang. Bing,
he said bing, bong. It had a completely different context than the bang. This wasn't like a game-winning huge shot. He just said bing, bong. And if I'm the guy who started bing, bong, I could go to sleep knowing that it's reached like its full conclusion when Breen said it.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy that the Knicks have Breen as a local announcer, right? Like, he does national games and NBA finals and then also a Knicks-Hornets game on Tuesday in November.
Yeah, they had Marv Albert as well. The Mets also have like the undisputed greatest Booth, who like also does the Fox games. And
wait, the Mets do?
Yeah, Gary, Keith, and Ron. Yeah, they're like three of the greatest. But it's the media capital of the world, so we have to have the best broadcasters. We should.
So if a Knicks game is happening on Sunday, but there's also a national game, Breen's leaving to do the Nash?
That's in his contract. That's above my pay grade, that's for sure.
I wonder who's the substitute. Like, who do you remember? If you remember, like, oh, it's no Breen, it's Clyde and this other guy for today or something.
Yeah, then you focus on Clyde because he's basically saying, like, shooting and hooping, razzing and dazzing, and that's enough for one game.
I like Clyde because he doesn't seem to care if the Knicks win or lose or not. He's just like, I'm happy and this is fun and this is fine or not. And, oh, that was a close game. But, like, he's not like a diehard, living and breathing ultimate Knicks fan like the Bing Bong guy.
Yeah, no, he's cool. He's 70s swag. Yeah. You know, he's laid back. He's cool. I'm good either way, which I believe was your Twitter bio at some point.
That's correct. I guess you could call me the Clyde Frazier of TikTok. Now it's just I'm serious, though.
Yeah, which is also a winner. So kudos on that.
Okay. Looking at, we sometimes have to dig deep and come up with, let's rank every person's prime number jersey between 1 and 93 or something like that.
We haven't done that one, but that actually sounds pretty good.
Who's the best 19 in NBA history?
Here we go, Ed, we're sidetracked on that.
But you know, there's been so much basketball, we haven't talked about any of it since the over under draft. Like, it was before the season and now it's now, and we have all this sweet data, these sample size. You know, you can play, are these teams real or not, are these trends or whatever the opposite of that is. But I thought we could start with, what's your biggest surprise record? Some teams are 6 games in, some teams are 8 games in. If you were given this sheet of paper, like 2 weeks ago, you're like, oh my God, I cannot believe this team is that record. Do you have one that stands out?
So obviously I'm a Knicks fan and we've already covered that. So that goes to the side, even though they're 5-2 right now, could have been 6-1 after last night. The biggest one to me,
7-0. Their two losses were against bad teams at home.
And so it's even more surprising to say that I'm more surprised to see that the Washington Wizards are, I believe, a one-loss team right now.
Yes, much like the Knicks, they went into last night as a one-loss team and they lost at Atlanta. So the Knicks and the Wizards are both 5-2 right now. Sixers also 5-2.
Yep. I would say the Wizards are my first draft pick for, are you real right now? Or is this just like a hot start? And my second would be the Cleveland Cavaliers being 4-3.
Your Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yes, I took the over. They were 26. They were 26.5 is what they got. And they're 22.5 games away from already meeting their goal.
They're 4-4. I think they lost last night.
I thought they won last night. Yeah. I think they're 4-3.
They were 3-4. Now they're 4-4.
Okay.
The Cavs are good. And Evan Mobley is like one of the greatest rookies ever, according to some podcast that I listen to.
Yeah, their box scores are full for their starting five. Like, it seems like their starting five all put up like 15 points. But Mobley is like, there's a couple rookies right now that look like they're going to be the team's star year two, if not year one. Like Scotty Barnes in Toronto, too. It's like, whoops, what is going on there?
It's funny how during the draft, teams were like, we just don't know. It could all go like either way, like Jalen Suggs or Scotty Barnes. Like, we just don't have enough data. We have 4 years of college, but like, or sorry, like 1 year of college, maybe two. Right. And then it's like 8 games in, you're like, okay, Scotty Barnes is great and Jalen Suggs is a bust. You're like,
that's right.
Wow, that was quick. You just 7 games of NBA sample size and you know exactly if you drafted correctly or not.
The thing that Scotty Barnes did in game that I was like, uh-oh, I've only seen Giannis do that, was he got a rebound on the defensive end, 3 dribbles, and he dunked on the opposite end. He went full court, 3 dribbles, and dunked. And it's like, you don't do that, sir. That defies a whole lot of stuff.
30 feet per dribble, I think. Back of the envelope calculations. 94 feet divided by 3 dribbles. That's a lot of distance.
Yeah.
But Mobley's even longer than him. He's got like the go-go gadget.
They're huge. Cleveland is big. They have big guys. They start big guys. And they have talent across the board, is the truth.
Have you seen Cleveland games?
I watched a lot of last night. After I saw that like their starting five all had 12 points going into the third quarter, I was like, this is too balanced an attack. This can't sustain. It sustained. I mean, and Garland, Sexton, everyone. Yeah.
The Hornets.
Yeah. Your team.
Yes. My over-under team. The Hornets also playing well, 5-3. I think their over-under was under 500, just like the Cavs were 26 wins. I think the Hornets were 38.
If I may, just because we're talking about the over-under draft real quick, last year I believe that there was some intrepid Buckets listener who put together some sort of algorithm that was constantly spitting out the expected wins totals as they shifted throughout the season, so that we kind of had a sense. If you are still out there and you still listen to Buckets, can you do it again, please?
Yeah, because now Billy and I actually have good teams, so we're interested. Before, we were, I think, last and second to last. So it's like, I don't care if my fucking Boston Celtics will win 48 or 50 games. I have them under 33.
Right.
But now it's like, oh, our picks are pretty good. We could come down to just me versus you here.
Right. And of course, we're only 7 games in. This comes with that caveat. Yeah. But right now, we're feeling ourselves.
Absolutely, yeah. 4-4 can become 5-21 very quickly if anything happens to any of these teams.
That's right. Did anyone surprise you? I gave you a couple picks.
How about the Bulls at 6-1? The first team in the NBA to reach 6 wins is your Chicago Bulls. I cannot believe it.
Fascinating trend seems to be that the teams with the biggest stars right now don't have the most wins. And the teams with the deepest rosters do.
Yeah.
I.e. Knicks, to a certain extent Wizards, Bulls definitely. It just Miami. Seems like, Miami, exactly.
Golden State. Meanwhile, like, the Bucks are 3-4. Mm-hmm. The Nets are 4-3. The mm-hmm. Lakers are 4-3. Everyone's mm-hmm. like title favorite is like meandering, either because they haven't put it together yet or they just don't care, or injuries, or some combination of all three.
Mm-hmm.
But the Golden State Warriors are 5-1. Like mm-hmm. the teams that are just proving themselves super, super early. I wonder if it'll stay like that.
That's interesting. The Golden State Warriors, because it's like, their last 7 years proved that they have like a great organization that wins championships. But does this feel a little bit like empty calories, this 5-1? Or do you feel like they're about to go 60-22?
Well, this is when they were supposed to be struggling. They had a pretty hard mm-hmm. schedule, and Clay's not back yet. So everyone's like, if they're not good when Clay comes back, maybe they shelve him for another year and like mm-hmm. sort of take it super slow with him. Now they're 5-1. What if they're like 10-2 when Clay comes back? And like, mm-hmm. if you've seen their team, if you add Clay Thompson to it, holy shit.
Because right now, it's like Jordan Poole and Damian Lee doing yeah. some serious heavy lifting. But they like, still have Kuminga coming back and Wiseman yeah. coming back and Klay Thompson coming back. Good thing, bad thing, that's up to coaching. Yeah. Like, you know, cycling in Kuminga and Wiseman suddenly is going to be like, well, we were 5-1. Like, yeah. do we shake this up?
Teenagers just right. to like, and hope that they're learning on the fly while we win? Or do we right. sacrifice some wins to give them reps?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're an interesting team to me for sure.
Another great team that seems to be like not interested in winning right now is the Phoenix Suns, 2-3.
See that? And that goes against what I was just saying about a full roster seemingly being like, they seemed like the model last year for having like nine guys who could play 20 minutes if you had to.
Yeah. And they beat the Lakers pretty early on and looked great.
Yeah. They're just waves of talent coming in. And that's what's winning in the regular season right now, but they're not. And Chris yeah. Paul's numbers are down, if I'm correct in saying so.
Yeah, but he's playing. It's not like he's injured or anything. Devin Booker is playing, so I'm not really sure. Ayton is playing.
Could it be fatigue? Could it just be like that hangover like the Lakers had after they won in the bubble, where it was just like, we played 25 more games than you. Then yeah. our stars went to the Olympics.
The Olympics. Yeah, right. I'm sure that doesn't help. Although when the Lakers did it, the offseason was like 9 weeks long. This was like a more normal offseason. I think it was mm-hmm. like July to October.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something to a deep playoff run and then starting again in October, just like mentally starting again.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And just physically, too. I mean, even if you could take that month, 2 months off, you still are gassed. You're yes. more gassed. Yeah, for sure.
You know who didn't have a deep playoff run? The Chicago Bulls. They look rested and healthy and excited.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Did Zach LaVine get sent home from the Olympics?
Yeah. Was he there?
I think he went there and then maybe had some sort of delay, some sort of hiccup or something like that.
And couldn't go.
Just that extra day of rest.
Yeah.
Booker didn't get that night's sleep.
And it shows.
It shows that extra night.
Another great surprise for me in the negative direction, Boston Celtics floundering. They're 2-5. I picked them sort of as a Laker homer pick under like 46.5, hoping that they would get a little bit under that. But they're not only 2-5, but have you seen like all the scuttlebutt around them recently?
Oh, no. Are they beefing?
Oh, they're beefing.
As a Knicks fan and a Lakers fan, you hate to see it.
Slash love
trouble
to see
in
it.
Boston. Oh, no.
Marcus Smart had some choice things to say.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even like a vague thing. It was full quotes calling out their team's best player style thing.
Wait, he put names on it?
So this is the quote. I'll quote my man, Marcus Smart. Every team knows we're trying to go to Jason and Jaylen. Every team is programmed and studied to stop Jason and Jaylen. I think everybody's scouting report is to make those guys pass the ball. They don't want to pass the ball.
Oh, damn. Everything up until that sentence was fine. Everything was correct.
Oh, they don't want to. It's hard when your third best player is calling out 1 and 2. That's like, this isn't AD shoving Dwight Howard. This is like LeBron pushing Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis or something like that.
And talking about it. It's like shoving is actually better.
The beef. Yeah,
shoving is like, better than talking to the media about it.
Yes. Shoving is like, we just, you know, we got heated in the course of the game and now we're cool. We're still brothers. Media is like, I'm happy to you to your face and I'm talking about you behind your back.
Yeah, that's just, it's cornier, to be honest. That is a little cornier. Marcus Smart doesn't seem like the type. It seems like he will say it to your face. So maybe he did both, is the truth.
Yeah, that'd be nice. It's something we've been asking them to do and they're learning. We just got to keep helping those guys do that to help our team.
Yikes, dude. Okay, nah. Nah, this is just, I mean, they're too good to get that kind of note from Marcus Smart, because they've also been balling. This is what I was going to say. That's the most concerning thing about Boston. Those two dudes are balling. They look, when they're on, they're on. Like, they collapsed against Chicago yesterday, but they...
Collapsed, yeah.
Yeah, but when they're on, they look like two All-Stars, no doubt.
Well, but I think
it's not enough.
Wasn't Tatum or Brown an All-Star last year? Maybe
I think
both.
They both were.
And I think this year Brown is kind of taking over and Tatum's mm-hmm. kind of drifting down. But like 2 years ago, Jason Tatum was like 22 and looked like an mm-hmm. MVP candidate. Like he was mm-hmm. taking it to Paul George and Kawhi.
You know what's concerning? Coaching. No one's
New
talking
coach.
About the coaching.
New
that's
coach.
That's what you don't know. It's always the great variable, you know?
Yeah.
That's
and
for
it's tough
like...
Yeah. Ime Udoka seems like, you know, like a savvy, like cool players coach, like not a guy that you, it's not like a Jim Boylan type that you can like, where did this guy come from? Like fucking college. He doesn't mm-hmm. know anything about the pros. Mm-hmm. Like Ime Udoka, like people really like that guy. So
yeah.
Nobody really wants to point fingers at him yet, but this is a huge challenge. Marcus Smart calling out Tatum and Brown.
Because coaching happens on the court, but it happens in the locker room, too. It's about creating a culture. Like, to bring it back to the Knicks for a second, we haven't had a good, solid coach in 25 years. So this is thrilling that Tibbs has created a system where when we lose games, it's assumed that all of the players are leaving the court and going to the practice facility and getting up jumpers until 3 in the morning. And it's
that's
like,
right.
because that's the culture of the thing. And Boston right now feels like it's like, I have no idea what their culture is at all.
Ultra-less, yeah.
Yeah.
Because besides Brown and Tatum, who do they really have? They got a bunch of young
it's
players
like,
who are not playing very well.
Well, they have Al Horford, who is really a winner. So it's kind of surprising that he hasn't been a piece that kind of moves things. They have Schroeder or
yeah.
Schrader.
Schroeder, yeah.
Schroeder.
He's not
behind
door well
number three.
Either. Yeah.
Yeah. So the question becomes, and this is going to affect our over-under draft and every team, what is the line... Like, how many losses below 500 do you have to be before you start becoming a seller and no longer wanting to win for the season?
Yeah,
I was trying
yeah.
to put that line together. And to me, it was once you hit 20 games under 500, it's over. Like,
really?
you're changing. I don't believe that you're chasing playoffs if you are at any point in the season 20 games under.
Oh, 20 games under 500. I thought you meant 20 games into the season.
No,
if you're under 500.
So if you find yourself at 12-32... You're no longer trying to win games. Now you're thinking about the draft, correct? So what is the Celtics? What is their breaking point where it's like, this isn't working, blow it up?
Well, it's hard because two things. One, there's a play-in tournament, so you just need to be within striking distance of the 10 seed now instead of
good
the
point.
8.
Good point.
And then also, like, their team is good, so it's like it's not like the Pistons being 10-28. It's like the Celtics who think they can turn it on. And also, like, they're not going to bench Tatum and Brown. Like, the Pistons might just, like, start playing their rookies. Boston doesn't really have any, like, what are they going to sit Horford and Brown and Tatum and start playing Aaron Nesmith?
But in this theoretical, in this theoretical, we have said they are 15-35. Things have gone objectively
<really bad>.
Wrong.
That would be great for my over-under, yeah.
That would be a nightmare for mine, but still.
Oh, yeah, you have Celtics over.
Nightmare for
mine. I forgot
mine.
About that.
Yeah.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car-selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yeah, I think 20 games under, you become a seller. And then that's just, I think that blows up our over-under bets for any team. 20 games under.
At a certain point, you want to hit the skids. But then also, like, the teams above them are like the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I don't see them sustaining a 500 record. It would be great. It would be fun. It would be a good story if the Cavs are 41-41 at the end of the year.
Yeah, the Cavs feel like who the Kings have been forever, where it's like, who are we? Like, do we want to keep winning and getting the sixth seed, or do we want like one more year of a good draft pick? And that's got to be like choose your own adventure for the Cavs this season, yeah. It seems.
Well, the Kings haven't made the playoffs in, I think, 16 or 17 years, which is kind of hard to do.
But that seemed like what Vlade wanted. Like, in all of his interviews, he's like, no, this isn't the year, for like 15 years. It was like, put down the cigarettes and like come up with a new plan, VD. Like,
yeah, he did. He hired Luka's coach and then drafted Marvin Bagley III.
Yikes. That is just so yikes.
Not quite unfortunate.
Speaking of the Kings, have you watched any Davion Mitchell?
He's awesome.
That defense, dog, that's like really that fun. Gets you 36 minutes a game. You don't need to score a point, and he does. Yeah. But that defense is just like guard their best player.
I always wonder like what makes somebody a great defender. Like Russell Westbrook is so physically intimidating offensively, and you would think is strong and fast because he is when he has the ball, mm-hmm. but he's a bad defender. Like what makes Russell Westbrook unable to guard people as well as Davion Mitchell? Just be an effort thing, but maybe it is.
My answer is two things. It's intelligence and length. I think intelligence
Mitchell
meaning...
Mitchell that long? It seems like just a bulldog, like a Pat Beverly type.
I think that if you're smart enough, you can watch a player's hips, you can watch their eyes, you can learn their tendencies, and you can guess correctly more times than not. And if you have any sort of extra length, just some sort of wingspan, you can just attack it. Like Russell Westbrook doesn't have the 6'10 wingspan, or to me, doesn't seem like he has instinct, but not intelligence. And Davion Mitchell, it just feels like he has studied how to stop ball. Yeah. And it's just really fun to watch.
Yeah, it is fun to watch when somebody's really good at defense. Like Avery Bradley is really smart. Like he's slipped athletically, but like he's always like just like fighting through screens. Like some people just die on screens. Avery Bradley like finds a way to go through screens. Mm-hmm. It's like I guess it's a skill just like dribbling a basketball, like figuring out how to like go through a screen over under. I don't even know what
intelligence.
They're doing,
but, it's all these little things. I will say that I don't think Avery Bradley had the strength that Davion Mitchell did to rip the ball from Donovan Mitchell on that one drive to the hole. Did you see that one play?
That was some real Spider-Man meme bullshit. Like D Mitchell versus D Mitchell, and D Mitchell stole the ball from D Mitchell.
And D Mitchell was shocked that D Mitchell was already going down court with the ball. D Mitchell's face was a meme.
Yeah. I mean, when we play basketball on Saturday mornings, it's a, maybe 1% of the effort of the NBA. But like when someone good is guarding you, it gets frustrating. You want to be like, you can take it easy a little bit.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what it's like when Davion Mitchell is guarding. You're just like, you don't have to guard me 80 feet from the fucking basket, Davion Mitchell. Let me like go around this screen without you fighting over it. Like, it's so frustrating.
I saw someone, I don't remember who the player was, but they were face guarding LeBron when he had the ball. Face guarding means that you put up your whole palm of your hand and just straight up put it right in front of their face so they can't see. It's like legal, but such a bitch move.
Yeah.
And I was watching it and I was like, if I'm LeBron, I'm literally just throwing the ball in the crowd and just putting my fist in your ear. Like, stop doing that. That is so annoying.
Well, it's like a fly, a pesky fly. It's the Pat Beverly. Like, not only stopping you, but clapping afterwards, screaming at the crowd, maybe screaming at you, talking shit.
I thought the NBA has done a really great job. It seems consensus that, like, killing those foul calls of thrusting your body into other players, just, like, bringing back just the spirit and just kind of, like, rhythm of the game. They did a good job of retaining some of that again. I think maybe face guarding is the next thing to go, because it just seems like, yes, it's legal, but that is such annoying.
Well, you know what the next thing to go is? This what they're calling the Euro foul, which is like, I just turn the ball over, let me grab the guy who stole the ball so that it stops a fast break. I guess
Van Gundy is huge on this.
Yeah, exactly. So in Europe they call that a two shot plus the ball kind of foul. Seems like an easy fix. If you're stopping a fast break on purpose by grabbing or tackling or whatever Draymond did to Ja Morant, like literally holding a player, that's two shots in the ball. That seems like a great rule.
In the Knicks Bulls game, RJ Barrett stole the ball from DeMar DeRozan, and DeMar DeRozan was on the ground, and RJ had he just held two hands, he just held his ankle back, and I was like, that's literally the definition of flagrant. I mean, like, that was like,
you're not going for the ball.
No, you're holding his leg back saying like, don't go, don't go. Like, and it was, to me, I was like, this is not getting enough attention. Like, that is not in the rules of the game.
You can do that in football, right? You can grab someone's foot, like almost like a sack.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Just, but you can't trip.
It's just a different sport. It's just a completely different sport with a completely different set of rules.
But now the Do you think the foul rules have gone too far? Like, are they swallowing their whistles to the point where it's like, all right, that was actually a foul against James Harden? Or they're like, no, he's not getting anything, whether it's the pump fake drive into or the his hands are on my hips and I'm going to pretend to
the latter. I think that the refs hated calling that those past 2 years. And every time they blew it, they were like, I don't believe that should have been a foul in their spirit. So right now they're probably rejoicing and just shrugging.
Now when Harden gets actually fouled, they're not calling that either. And it's not a new rule thing. That's just like, they're like, no, I'm not going to give him that. I'm going to award the defense for playing hard, even if he did maybe foul you.
And Brooklyn didn't need another unexpected twist. Like, they had three of the greatest offensive basketball players in the world. One went away. Now he thinks he's Morpheus on Instagram. And one has lost his superpower of getting 15 free throws a game. He's averaging like under five. And so suddenly, like, the Nets aren't scoring a lot and Blake Griffin isn't playing. And it's just getting more and more like, Nets, what's happening here? Like,
they're 4-3 now too. Like, they're going to win games just because Kevin Durant is on that team, but they're not destroying teams. They don't look great.
Nope. Do you think, does Vegas have an over under of games expected played by Kyrie Irving this season?
No, I don't think so.
If you were to set a line, Amir?
I think I can see something like Woj tweeting at the All-Star break, Kyrie has gotten vaccinated and he's ready to rejoin the team. That wouldn't surprise me.
Do you think that, who caves first? Does New York City change their indoor laws?
No.
Or does Kyrie get the shot?
I thought you were going to say, who caves first, Kyrie Irving or Ben Simmons? Quite different situations, but two point guards of title contending teams holding out for different reasons. Mm-hmm. Ben Simmons citing mental health and readiness to play, and Kyrie Irving citing the opposite of mental health. He's saying that he's so mentally healthy that he's not able to even come up
too with mentally the healthy
factor. Yes,
too he mentally want to healthy risk right now
to get the vaccine. He wants to give voice to the voiceless.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know who comes back first. Would you bet on Simmons or Kyrie to play their first game this year?
Thinking about it. I think that I could see Simmons coming back first.
Right.
But I think that he would be playing for the Boston Celtics in a trade with Marcus Smart.
Oh, so Philly's like, you know what? Smart's not happy there, but he's a workhorse. He can shoot threes. He can defend. Mm-hmm. Right now we're 5-2 and Ben Simmons hasn't even, like, he's actively hurting our team. So just getting rid of him would be a plus. And then getting a player like Marcus Smart, maybe a shooter, throw in Neesmith or something. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how the salaries work.
Yeah, Smart, a couple picks maybe. Maybe just like, a Neesmith or sorts. But I could see that working between those two teams. Because you have two guys who don't pass, according to Marcus Smart, but score. Yep. And that's perfect for Ben Simmons because all he does is pass. And all he does is not score. That could be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, Boston, that's a pretty solid big three. Ben Simmons, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum.
For sure.
Until one of them, you know, invariably doesn't want to be in Boston anymore.
Right.
Or Jason Tatum.
Boston's fans are notoriously kind, so I'm sure that they'll be really soft on Ben Simmons. And they won't affect his mental health at all.
Yes. And Philly fans as well. They're going to welcome Marcus Smart with open. I mean, Smart in Philly does make a lot of sense, culture-wise, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Another team that's kicking ass, the Miami Heat.
Yeah. Haven't watched 1 minute of them. Not surprised that they are as good as they are.
Dominating. And it's all like the Jimmy Butler effect. He's just the man. He knows he's the man.
Mm-hmm.
And he continues to be the man. Mm-hmm. He gives a good, like, offended that somebody's trying to guard him. Like, don't guard me with this guy. Like, I'm going to bully ball, score, steal the ball, score again, and just sort of, like, roll my eyes at the idea that this guy's trying to guard me.
And don't sleep on the fact that he may have a teammate who's even more a Jimmy Butler than Jimmy Butler in Kyle Lowry.
That's right.
Those are two Jimmy Butler workhorse winners.
Guys that, like, get charges, guys that back people down and score easily.
Mm-hmm. And then another year of Bam, just getting bigger and better, and just, you know, he was an Olympian too.
Miami is not just winning too. They're like dominant. They're like beating like the Bucks. They're beating the Grizzlies by like 20-30 points. I think they have the highest net rating in the game today.
They're in like this interesting position where no one is hugely surprised that the Heat are as good as they are. But we're also like, they're like right in this in between of like, no one's really talking about how good they are. They're not leading SportsCenter. It's still like the Knicks. It's still the Bulls because it's just the shock factor. Yeah. But like we could wake up one day and they could be like 18-4.
Right. You know? Oh, that's in play for sure. They're 5-1 right now.
Yeah.
Their over under belongs to me. I had them over 48.5, which seemed high. It was my last pick, but 50 is seemingly in play now that they're 5-1 and completely destroying teams if they stay healthy.
Yeah. I mean, the Nets and it's like, it was such a no-brainer that it was Milwaukee and the Nets going into this. Are the Nets still one of the top two favorites to win the East after the first seven games that you've seen?
I would think so. I would think everyone's like, yeah, they're just, you know, it's October, November. They don't need to be winning these games. They're cruising. Kyrie will come back eventually. James Harden will realize how to get fouls in this new NBA or not. And they'll still, I mean, who would you choose to beat them in a best of seven? Maybe Miami?
Yes. Yes. Miami or Milwaukee, potentially. I mean, just deep defensive teams.
Yeah. But the Bucks don't look that great either.
Miami, by the way, has PJ Tucker. PJ Tucker is the KD whisperer.
That's right. He just hops around. He's the guy, kind of guy that pesters KD.
Yeah, he's just the enforcer. He's like Zdeno Chara, if anyone knows who that is in the NHL, where it's like, go in there and just plow that dude, please.
Yeah. All right, some other interesting news and notes. Have you watched any Rockets games? They're the G League Ignite of the NBA. They just have the youngest, craziest players going ISO ball one-on-one and one mixtape style. Mm-hmm. And they make for great highlights, but like, holy shit, their team is all over the place.
They've won one game, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, that tracks.
And it's just like Jalen Green, like, just go ham. Do whatever you want. Kevin Porter Jr., fucking have at it. Just like, enjoy life. And then Eric Gordon's there still too for some
reason. Damn, good God, is he in Rockets jail? What the hell? How has everyone left but Eric Gordon? Does he love it there?
Yeah, no, there's always one guy. There's always one guy that stays behind. It's the Kevin Love of like, everyone left Cleveland. He's like, yeah, I guess I'm still here. I mean, I'm getting a lot of money, so that's nice. But
Kevin Love played the first seven games of the season, was averaging like 9-7, seemed like a really healthy, like helpful contributor to the team. Yeah. Health and safety protocol yesterday.
That means COVID, right?
He got COVID. It seems COVID adjacent at best.
Have the Hornets excited you as much as people predicted? Everyone said that they were the league pass team.
They are the league pass team. They are the Hawks of like last year or the year prior, where it's like, hey, this is fast and fun. Miles Bridges, dude.
Insane. Whoa. Number one player in fantasy, I read.
Holy shit. Like, he's like 31-7-7-2-1 a game. And like, he strokes threes. He throws down tremendous jams on your ass.
Just a jammer. He was like the Blake Griffin of like the last 2 years. And then he's like, oh, he started adding a three ball to it. Oh, now he can dribble. Oh,
he looks like shoot. He looks like a JV LeBron. Like, he is like built like where it's like, holy shit, this is cool to watch. And then LaMelo is trending like Steph from behind three. Like, he can shoot. He was that like fancy. He was like white chocolate for his first season, where it's like, I've never seen a pass like that. Never seen a pass like that. Never. Yeah. Now it's like, oh crap, he could shoot from three like Steph. It's
off the dribble too. It's not catch and shoot. Like, he's crossing people's up step back threes.
Yep. He's also like just dribbling up and just pulling up like right inside the logo. And it bears repeating. He could be on the Golden State Warriors right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Insanely good would he be on Golden State? Holy shit.
They would just be covered for the next 15 years. They would have the post Steph, Clay, Dre thing ready. Wild. Oh God, that's like worse to me. That's worse than Luka. That's worse than any sort of Atlanta and all that.
Yeah, Bagley over Luka is pretty bad still. But yeah, maybe why? I mean, if Wiseman literally never gets healthy, that's going to be pretty bad as well.
Yeah, or he could surprise us. But goddamn, LaMelo and Steph together would have just been a gift.
It would have broken the internet, as they say.
Yeah, but Charlotte looks good. Have you been watching them now that they're your over pick?
Yes, I have been, and it's been very entertaining. I'm glad I chose them. I have no regrets.
They have Plumlee or Zeller?
Ooh, I believe Zeller's on Portland with a face mask.
Okay, so Plumlee.
And they got Plumlee. Yes, they do have a Plumlee to be named later, yes.
That Plum plays well with LaMelo.
You need a big old Plum right in the middle, a big old thumb Plum.
Plum seems like when he retires, he's going to dominate a recreational volleyball league. That man looks like designed for volleyball.
7-1 with hops, just fucking yamming, throwing the ball away, putting it away.
I would bet real money that he is a volleyball player in his spare time.
Chandler Parsons style.
Yep.
Who have we not talked about yet?
How about the Portland Trailblazers, Amir, your favorite team?
My favorite team to root against. I'm glad that they're struggling, but it's really, you can pinpoint it exactly to just Damian Lillard's three-point struggles. You don't have to question what's going on over there.
But Dame, can you pinpoint why he's struggling? Well. Can you pinpoint why the shots no again? Is this just a bad start?
I guess. I mean, it's just a weird sample size, but he was like 0 of 9, 2 of 14, 2 of 10, like huge, like games that you don't really see him have. He's had 4 or 5 in a row now.
Right. So that's got to make you happy. And then something else has to make you happy. The start of the season for your Los Angeles Clippers.
Yes, that was joyful to see. They are struggling without Kawhi, and they are barely beating shitty teams.
This might be that Tim Duncan type season where it's like, oh crap, next season they get Kawhi and the number one pick back. So be
that
careful.
That would be smart.
They look bad, bad. They look bad, bad.
Which doesn't make sense because this is the same team that beat Utah in the playoffs last year.
I'm telling you, it's a new season. They're going in knowing no Kawhi. That's a completely different psychological start to the season.
And Paul George is playing great too.
He is, but when do they shut him down on here? Once they go under 20 games, wake up and they're 11-31, they're going to be like, Paul, rest. Get that surgery.
Or there's a chance he like twists his ankle and they miss 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and like this team without Paul George or Kawhi.
Yeah. So just be careful. If the Clippers get the number one pick next year, we all might be very bitter. Another team we should talk about, if we're talking about the number one pick, is my New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah, they're not looking too hot, actually.
No.
Yeah, you know what?
And the press clippings don't seem too clear or concise either.
Yeah, and then you look at Zion sort of getting ready for the season, and he resembles a defensive end. He's an enormous man nowadays, which I don't know if that's helpful.
Well, I mean, the news is so confusing. So he was like a iffy to start the season, didn't start the season. Then they said, we'll report back in 2 weeks. He should be close to ready then. Two weeks have just arrived, and they said, we'll report back in 2 to 3 more weeks with a new report. So they're 1-6, I believe, right now.
Yep, that's
correct. Not going to get any LeBron for, seems like, at min,
any
4
Zion,
weeks.
Yeah.
Zion. So
I understand why you switch those two, because they're both dominant NBA players. But
I mean, he averaged 27 points on 60% shooting last season. Like, he's so insanely
unstoppable.
Good. Yes.
Unstoppable. So,
but he's going to miss another 15 games, let's call it. And there's a real reality where they could be 3-19, you know, and then it's like, now what? Now what?
Now they have to trade Zion, right? Like, his stock will only go down from here. He's definitely not going to stay. He'll sign that supermax and then maybe not play another meaningful game for them.
There's no good options.
You should just, honestly, the most exciting option that they will never do, you can't trade Zion Williamson. But if they do, they should trade him to the Knicks, because the Knicks have this fucking treasure trove of useful players that if they staple together, cobble together, and turn into Zion Williamson, suddenly they're one of the best teams in the NBA.
I will say, if we're talking about Duke basketball players, RJ Barrett is making a quiet leap in a bunch of categories. Obviously, he's had he had 35 and 29 back to back. He's scoring in bunches.
Wow.
But he's a lockdown defender, dude.
Interesting.
He is a true lockdown defender. Like, he was on DeRozan when DeRozan threw the airball up to try and beat the Knicks. Yeah. He is an on ball. Like, I think that literally it's like him and, I don't know about Davion Mitchell, but he's like a top clamp guy from like some sort of metric standpoint of on-ball defenders. It's exciting
to
helpful.
Watch. It's very helpful to have that guy that you want to just throw on the other team's best player.
And he's 21.
Is he still only 21?
He's super duper duper young.
Wow. I mean, imagine, like, who would you willingly give up for Zion Williamson right now, knowing full well that he's, you know, pushing 300 pounds and has a fracture in his foot? Like, would you ship them, let's say, Obi Toppin, Derrick Rose, and a draft pick for Zion Williamson? Would you do that?
Yes.
Okay, Obi Toppin.
I love
Kevin
those two
Knox,
men. I love those
Derrick
two men.
Rose, yeah. And Alec Burke.
Kevin Knox, Alec Burke, and who?
Derrick Rose. Obi and Derrick. Four players. Yes.
But we are approaching the Carmelo trade, where it's like, all right, you give us your 9 players, and we'll give you the guy who doesn't like it here.
Well, you're keeping your core. You want to keep Barrett. You want to keep Quickly. You want to keep Julius.
Right.
Actually, Barrett, Julius, and Zion would be a very funny top three. They're all these lefty, bully ball kind of same players.
The crazy thing about the Knicks' start to the season has me questioning, is Zion a fit on this team right now? Which is bananas, but it's like, we are a team. We don't have a star. We are a good team.
Yeah, and some nights it's Randall. Star. And some nights it's Kemba, and some nights it's Barrett.
Yeah. So we're going in the right direction, and we've only thought about draft picks forever, but now it's like, shit, do we need Zion? The answer is yes, we need Zion.
Now you're starting to get to the point of a Knicks fan where you're like disappointed when they lose. You're not expecting, like last night, they looked great against Toronto. I didn't watch that game, but what happened there? What happened in the second half? How did they stop playing so well?
Shots didn't go in, and Toronto just, like, they just found a second gear. Like, we were playing a good competitive game. We were up like 15 at one point, and then they literally just turned it on. OG Anunoby just had like an all-world game, and they just tried harder than us last night, and our shots weren't falling. We also shoot the most three-pointers in the league, which is like, is great when they go in, but they're low percentage shots ultimately.
Right. One, the game where you go 10 of 40 instead of 17 of 35.
Yeah. But it's mental to acknowledge the Knicks they have the most attempts and the most makes from three this season.
Yeah. Where did that come from? I thought Tibbs was like an old school coach that didn't necessarily believe in that kind of stuff.
From what I've heard, he is just coaching on the talent that he has. Like, this wasn't like we're going to, you know, this is our style. He's just constantly seeing the roster and like adapting. This is what other podcasts have told me, at least.
All right. Why don't we end with the team we haven't spoken about yet? It's a little small market team, so I understand why we haven't addressed them yet. But we haven't actually said anything about I think it's called the LA Lakers. I don't know if you've seen anything about the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, they're like the kid brother to the Clippers, right?
Yeah. Every game for them is kind of must-watch TV, especially for me as a fan, but of the team, but like just fans of basketball to see this fit and to see how wildly variant like the team can look depending on how they're playing that night.
So this is what's interesting to me. For the past 5 years, I would say, or so, 3 years, Lakers have been must-watch TV. Mm-hmm. They've been exciting to watch. There's been young guys that I've been like, I'm curious to see how Caruso plays and these other guys develop. And LeBron was flying around 82. This is the first year where I've watched Laker games and I'm like, I'm not entertained.
Yeah.
You know the phrase, are you entertained? There have been times where I'm like, this is tough.
Yeah. Like, well, it depends on which games you watch. Like,
I guess
they looked like some weird preseason all-star team in like the first few games of the season, like not really understanding what to do, how to play together, what Russ is doing with LeBron on the court.
True.
In the last like two or three games, they're starting to like, wait a minute, maybe Rondo and Westbrook shouldn't play together.
That makes
sense.
Clear.
Maybe we should start playing this Austin Reeves guy who's like an undrafted rookie with LeBron and AD, totally like an Alex Caruso style player, like out of nowhere. Avery Bradley from the fucking Warriors has plopped into now the starting lineup. So I love how Vogel is fucking mixing and matching, playing like really just like, and fortunately, thank you to the scheduling gods for giving us Houston, OKC, fucking.
And then Houston San Antonio, again.
And then Houston, again OKC tonight. Again, and Cleveland.
Right.
Teams that we can potentially beat while we figure out how to play with each other. Mm-hmm. Like if the first two games, it was Phoenix and Golden State. If we kept playing hard games, like, we would start turning on each other even more. And as we're learning, like starts putting more pressure on the coach and all this stuff. So I'm thankful for the scheduling gods to give us some easier opponents, even though we still lost to the Thunder, so that we can learn and win at the same time. So it's not complete crisis mode.
That wrinkle of having so much like superstars, yes, but also talent on your roster. That's ultimately Vogel's problem. It's like, it's a cool problem to have, but that's also a problem to a certain extent, like figuring out how to use it. Like,
well, the problem is Russ. We know how to use LeBron and AD. They're great. They're perfect together. Like by year three, it's like do a LeBron AD pick and roll, and nine times out of ten, something good will happen.
Has he found? Have you seen Russ finding his way? Is he finding how he can be the best player on this team?
I mean, we're only 7 games of 80 in, so it's still the beginnings of things, but like you start seeing, like when LeBron rests, Russell Westbrook goes for 30-point triple-doubles, and you're like, that's great to have. That's great to have. We didn't have that last year, beating the Spurs on the road.
But I'm talking about when everyone's in, their playoff roster is playing. Because we all saw the first couple of games, and Russ was that guy who was like dribbling into his own teammate and like handing them the ball. Literally just not knowing, what am I supposed to be doing? We're now game 8.
Airballing. Yeah.
Has he gotten past that? Does he now know the spacing that he needs? I hear that he's now like setting picks, something he's never done in his career before.
Yeah, apparently. He's never set picks, and he's starting to do that. He's trying to not give a wide open three, even though they're giving it to him. He's like trying to like only shoot the corner threes, which is somewhat passable.
Like, as a guy who doesn't hit threes, I know. Like when I'm defended, my defender stays 6 feet off ball when I'm behind the arc.
Yes,
and it's like,
course.
Well, shit, I have the shot. I should take it. But like my brain and body knows like you shouldn't take it. That's Westbrook's the same way, except he takes it always.
He has to. Yeah. Cause it's like, you know, it's almost worse to not take the three than to miss it. Like, this is what the defense is giving you, even if you're like 28% from behind the line. Sometimes it's better than passing it into somebody who's being double teamed because your guy's not guarding you.
Right.
But he's started to make some of those corner threes that we played well against the Rockets a couple days ago, and we're playing him again tonight. So it's been interesting to see Russell Westbrook find his footing, and then also seeing Austin Reeves and Avery Bradley get big minutes. And Carmelo Anthony. We haven't even said Carmelo Anthony. Who's making and taking like the most threes he has since he was a Knick, and the Lakers are like sixth in the NBA in field 3-point percentage because of Melo. Melo's
he's feeling real
out.
Good about his role on the Lakers right now.
Yeah,
I'm real curious what like two months from now looks like. If let's just say the big four on that team are all feeling good.
Oh yeah, it all depends on like how our last five games went. Like if we're 0-5, things get chippy and tense.
Yeah,
as you see, like people are shoving each other on the bench.
That's true.
But then when we win, it's like we're all a fucking big happy family, and everyone doubted us that things are going great. So as long as we can keep playing the Rockets and the Thunder and the Cavs, I think it's going to work out for us.
Yeah. Well, the West hasn't looked so hot so far. So you're in
that's
good
another
shape.
Thing like who's looking great. It's Utah and Golden State. We're not quite worried about them in the playoffs yet.
Denver's looked real rocky. I will tell you who looked great last night, and then I know we ain't trying to leave, but Andre Drummond just decided to show up with a 14-15-6-1-3.
This is a player who I was so confused when he was on the Lakers because he looked like a 17-year-old that was learning how to play basketball.
Yeah.
A 28-year-old, 4-time All-Star, whatever the hell he is.
Yep.
Completely dominating yesterday against the Blazers.
And it's not because of skill. I can't stress that enough.
I didn't watch a lot of that game. So I have no idea.
Like, the ball just constantly bounced into his big Drummond hands. Like, his just mitts were all over it. But when he did a spin move and tried to do a layup, watching that ball miss the square on the glass is just, like, art. It's like, oh, when he does plays, it's chaos. But he's
so what is
huge.
He so good at? Like, alley-oops and
no, just
putbacks?
Being there. He's just there. That's like, he's really good at showing up.
He's great. He's rarely hurt. He's available.
Yeah.
He's kind of a perfect backup center. I don't know about him as a starting, but like for 15 to 20 minutes a game to just beat up on some small ball lineups.
You know where he would be great, actually, is the Los Angeles Lakers.
That's quite enough, actually. We already have enough of our 7-footers that may or may not be good at basketball anymore. We don't need another Andre Drummond. That was I've already actually blocked it out entirely. I don't remember Drummond on the Lakers.
Well, you can always listen back to the Buckets podcast where you were trying to convince all of us that he is the perfect fit. And,
he was the perfect fit. He was great. I mean, we just needed a Dwight Howard type. And now we have Dwight Howard, so we don't need... Who's a better Dwight Howard type than Dwight Howard?
I guess you got me there, Amir.
Yeah. All right, 6 to 8 games in. I think there was a lot to discuss, and I think we got to most of it. Can you name the one team, maybe two teams we haven't addressed yet? I can sort of scan through the schedule.
I'm
Orlando
going
Magic
real quick.
Beat your New York Knicks. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Orlando's sort of fighting for me. The Indiana Pacers are 2-6.
Have not talked about them for good reason.
Yeah, not thought about them. Yep. Cade Cunningham, sort of playing, sort of not. The Detroit Pistons are as bad as everyone thought.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it. We talked about everybody. Oh, maybe the Spurs. Spurs seem to be competitive, but ultimately losing basketball games.
Like the Spurs have been for the past couple of years.
Yeah, exactly. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Poor
I will say
Popovich.
This, Amir. This podcast is a lot more fun when basketball is on the television.
Yeah, that's good. It's good to have something to talk about. Are you coming back to FanDuel, or are you still dipping your toes in occasionally? Are you
intimidated? I used to listen to podcasts and try and learn who I should be playing over the course of the night. Don't really have time for that right now. So yeah. I'm putting in a lot of rosters that are scoring me about 240 points. And I'm like, oh, I'm that guy in the group right now.
Yeah.
I used to dominate guys like this, and now yes. I am them. So
yeah,
karma has come back for me, and that's fine.
It's true. I've played a few times and not quite gotten in the money yet. And that's hard to do when it's two of five people winning.
Yeah, and like three of those five people always have listened to the podcast and gone on Twitter and figured out who's the best players of the night. I am not one of those five this season.
That's a good tip, though. Listen to podcasts that tell you who to start and sit. I should do that.
Yes.
All right, sir. Where can people listen to more of you?
You guys already know, but the No Joke Podcast. And this week, I think we're on the HeadGum Podcast together, Amir.
That's right. We're coming up. I think it'll be Friday's episode.
There you go. And at Billy Scafuri on socials.
Awesome. And thanks to you guys for listening. We'll be back as soon as possible. Something major is going to happen. I feel it. Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving. Someone's coming back.
Simmons for smart. You heard it here first.
Who says no, people? Let us know. And we'll see you soon. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Original.